You're listening to the Ranch Church podcast. For more information and service times, go to ranchchurch.com.
This message is called Crossing Over. There are several crossing overs in the Bible that you have to pay attention to, because we're here at this moment because God has called us to cross over. And so we have this property here as an active illustration of God's grace, of his glory, of his presence. Those are the two things I want you to see from the various texts we're going to look at today. The nature of God's presence, the reality of his glory. And let those two things dominate your life. Let those two things, God's presence and God's glory, be that which dominates your life. More than all the anxiety and insecurities and feelings of rejection or what's going to happen tomorrow. And don't you know this? And don't you know that? And this person said this to me. And this person said that to me. And so-and-so was mean to me 30 years ago. And I'm still holding on to it. Let God's glory be greater than that. Let his presence be stronger than that. The text this morning related to this is really about crossing over. And I don't know, maybe we someday rename this place. Maybe we call it Crossing Over Farms. I just made that up, by the way. That sounds like a good cowboy name, though, right? Exodus chapter 13. Going to look at the crossing over of Moses with the Israelites, more in brief, to be honest. The crossing over of Joshua and the Israelites, and then Jesus on the Sea of Galilee. Here in Exodus, we're talking about Moses, and in verse 17, again, I'm in Exodus 13. When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. Can everybody say the word near? That was near. In other words, looking at the economy of God, looking at the way you and I would draw it up, any math teacher, and I know there's math teachers out here, I can't spot you in the crowd, but there are some. You would say that the quickest way between two points is a straight line, yes? Yeah. You have a point here, and you have a point there, and you want to get there, go in a straight line. I love going in a straight line. You know who doesn't go in a straight line? Jesus. God doesn't take your life in a straight line, does he? You and I would look at something and we would say, why can't we just go and get it? And God says, well, and then fill in the blank. Maybe you're not ready. Maybe I'm not ready. There's things you don't see and understand. All of that comes into play. But nonetheless, you and I see, why can we not go in a straight line? And we get angry at God. We get frustrated at God. We actually get our feelings hurt with God. God, don't you know your word is true? Don't you know there's these great promises? Why can I not go in a straight line? Am I talking to myself? Are you with me? When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them by the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, listen here in the text, lest the people change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. So God knew that there was somehow some sort of maturity that needed to come to his people. In this story, there's several million Israelites who have to cross over. Their history, their entire life was one of slavery. They weren't used to people who could pray and see God have miracles take place. They were slaves, literally enslaved. They were tortured. They were terrorized. They were tormented. They did not have rights. So even though they were going to be liberated, they thought like slaves. There was still a slave inside them. There was still a bondage inside them. So though their external life would be manifesting all the freedom and promises of God, inside them, they were still slaves. Is that not often you and I together? Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Every promise of the scripture is true. Yet we walk around and look at our insufficiencies, the things we don't have, and we whine and complain constantly as if people who are inside enslaved. God said, I can't do with you yet what I want to do because you have to mature. You have to change. You have to morph. You have to grow. Lest the people change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. But God led the people around by the way of the wilderness toward the Red Sea. And the people of Israel went up out of the land of Egypt equipped for battle. Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for Joseph had made the sons of Israel solemnly swear, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones with you from here. Don't raise your hand. Have you ever felt like God forgot you? I know that feeling. And I've been a pastor almost my entire Christian life. And I know that feeling. I know what it's like to fast and pray and see nothing. I know what it's like to every spiritual discipline. Okay, I'll sit quietly. I'll be quiet all day. I'll be quiet. I see nothing. I don't know what it's like to join this prayer group and that prayer group and be a part of the prophetic and then do this and do all of that and see nothing. Have you ever felt like God forgot you? In this story, Joseph said, I'm going to die. There'll come a day of deliverance. You take my bones. That will be sort of a way of taking a coffin. It's a carcass, and saying, you take this, you bury me back in the land of which I came from. That will be a testimony to you that God has not forgotten you, and he's on the move again. And in case you ever think that God has forgot you, you watch, because this is going to happen. And so it happens. So they moved in the towns that are mentioned there, verse 20. To the edge of the wilderness, and the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them along the way, and night a pillar of fire to give them light that they might travel by day and by night. The pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night did not depart from before the people. So some people will say to me, well, I want to see a miracle. I want to see a manifestation of God. You know, it's always going to be by faith, right? You know that. Like, there's never not a day this side of eternity where it's not by faith. Going to eternity, that's not by faith. Here, it's going to be by faith. So these people, the Israelites, our ancient brethren, had a cloud by day. So you would think a cloud is following you around all day, wherever you go, in the desert, keeping you cool. You'd say, yeah, God is with me. I have nothing to fear. Would you say that? Yes, you'd tend to say that. And then at night, a pillar of fire at night. I mean, you know, I'm sure they're playing cards or cooking or doing whatever, and they go, yeah, we're secure because look at that pillar over there. But that's not what they thought. They were slaves inside still, so they were scared. The rest of the story, which I'll not read to you out loud, I'll simply share a few thoughts, is related to the fact that God says, I want you to sit and look at the Red Sea, and I want your back to be to Egypt. I want your back to come to that army coming, because believe it or not, I got it. I don't want you looking at that. I don't want you looking at all the nasty things of which I actually have you can't touch. You look at that sea. Now, the weird thing is that we would look at that sea and we would say, we're dead. I mean, what's going to happen here? What's going to happen here is that the people are going to whine, but more importantly, Moses would actually whine to God. I'm deep into the next chapter. You know what God would say? Here's Pastor Rick Soto's paraphrase. Why are you talking to me? Why are you talking to me? You know that staff? You go in the water, and you stand in the water, and you stick it in the water, and those waters are going to part. The Rick Soto paraphrases Moses responding by saying, seriously? But he does it. And God does it. The Israelites go to the other side. I'm going to share a thought with you. When so many people so constantly say, you know, the Bible's not true, these things are not true, I'm here over and over again to tell you, on the archaeological evidence alone, you should always believe everything the Bible tells you. Here's one example. Currently, if you like academics or you follow the academics of the Bible, it's like, well, where were all the Israelites at? Why don't we see any archaeological evidence? We have looked and we've looked and we've looked. To which the answer is, you've been looking in the wrong place. When you go to the southern southeast tip of the Sinai Peninsula, it's just a beach dirt. There ain't nothing there. There is an underground sandbar which takes you into what we call Saudi Arabia, pointing just at the famous city of Mecca. Northwest of Mecca on the beach is arguably the world's largest fence. If you think of the Grand Canyon in terms of size, shrink it down to about a third. So something about the third of the size of the Grand Canyon. There is a fence all around this area for literally hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of miles. And it is the archaeological artifact of this story. It is the other side. And the Muslims know it. It's considered a sacred site. And it's nicknamed in academic circles called the Mountain of Fire. The mountain is simply cooked, and all the artifacts are there, and they actually don't know what to do with it. Except they know it should not be destroyed because they revere Moses enough. It is the hope of myself and many others, as Saudi Arabia now makes a modern peace treaty with modern-day Israel, that archaeological site will open up. I have the video of it. I have no permission to show it publicly. I actually have these videos. If you actually want me to show it, then send me a text or email, and maybe I can show it here. But I can't put it like on a digital. I can't put it on YouTube or YouTube channel. It's phenomenal. Don't ever believe anybody who tells you that the archaeological evidence is not there. Okay, moving on real quickly as we talk about crossing over. Can you guys say crossing over with me? Joshua chapter 3. Joshua chapter 3 now is going to be, this is many, 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 many years from what we just read. Joshua chapter 3 verse 14 is the second crossing over we need to look at. So when the people set out from their tents to pass over the Jordan with the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and as soon as those bearing the Ark had come up as far as the Jordan, and the feet of the priests bearing the Ark of the Jordan were dipped in the brink of the water. Again, now there's this paraphrase here. Now the Jordan overflows all its banks throughout the time of the harvest. The waters coming down from above rose up and a heap very far away at Adam, the city beside Zarethan, and those flowing down from the Sea of the Arabah, the Salt Sea, were completely cut off. And the people passed over opposite Jericho. Now the priest bearing the Ark of the Covenant, the Lord, stood firmly on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan, and all Israel was passing over on dry ground until all the nation finished passing over the Jordan. So this passing over, this crossing over, this was of another generation. This was of a younger generation. And so I pray God gives me and gives you a lot of energy to tarry and to build the kingdom of God here and all over the world and in many other places. But we have this property here and now because we are looking at another generation that is younger than us, that is greater than us, that will have more anointing on them than we ever had. They will be living in a sufficiency and a fullness, and we come here now to gift to a new generation something that we didn't have. Because there will be a day in which I'll cross over, and all that should be done with this body here is it should be burned up, because I'm going to get me a new body. So which I'm going to say yes and amen to that. It's going to be looking good too. And when I cross over to see Jesus on that great and final day of my life, you should know that's the best and greatest day of my life, as it is for you. And there'll be a new generation that will cross over in this place with the gospel. And they'll cross over in a whole new way. And they'll have whole new stories of miracles. Moses had his story of a miracle of crossing the Red Sea. And so God would give the Israelites a whole new story there at the Jordan River. The Jordan River would literally stop flowing. If you go there to this day, and I'm going to take you there again. It's a real small river, relatively speaking. But back in this day when it ran wild, and frankly when the North American rivers ran very, very wild, it was something totally different. That river stopped because the Ark of the Covenant, which represents God's presence, came into it, and he was glorified as millions and millions of Israelites crossed over because God had a new plan. As God has a new plan this day. Let me run for home here, take you into the New Testament, and talk about Jesus. I've chosen Luke chapter 8 as an example of crossing over. I could have used Jesus walking on water, but I chose to take him from the story of him in the boat, Luke chapter 8, verse 22. One day he got into a boat with his disciples and said to them, "Let's go across to the other side of the lake." Now, I will pause there and tell you that there'll be moments in your life when God says, "Let's go and get there." And you have to understand that he wasn't stuttering when he said that. "Let's go because we have to get there" means that God will take you there. It means he's got it. It means he's got every dime that's needed, every nickel that's got to be there. It means that if you're not healthy, he's going to make you healthy enough so that you can get there. It means if you don't have friends, he'll give you friends so that you can get there. It means that if you feel something negative inside and insecure inside and all of that, then he will deal with that and give you the faith to believe him for a full heart so that you could get there because he said something to you. Let's go to the other side. That's all that mattered in that story. That's why the rest of it actually comes to be significant. So they set out, and as they sailed, he fell asleep. And a windstorm came down on the lake, and they were filling with water and were in danger. Now, what's fascinating at my last tour of Israel is something happened that had never happened before. I was so excited to take everybody on the boat, Sea of Galilee. You know, you spend all this money, time, and energy. We're on the other side of the world. This is the day. We're going to be on the Sea of Galilee. We're going to be on the boat. I'm going to open the Bible. I'm going to feel so much like Jesus as a pastor on the boat, you know, preaching, you know, and all of that. And then it's a day, it looked just like this, a beautiful sunny day, a beautiful sunny moment. And my guide, tour guide, says, "We can't go on the boat." "Oh, come on, brother, that's like not happening. No, we are going to get on the boat." He goes, no, there's a storm coming. I go, there's not a storm. Look at, there's not a cloud. There's not even wind. This is a beautiful day. What are you talking about? There's a storm coming. Oh, there's a storm coming like within an hour or two. And I'm just so agitated, I'm not believing my friend, my tour guide. But I learned enough, okay, so we can't go safely on the boat. So now we go back to our hotel. We do a few other sides. We go back to our hotel. Oh, in Jesus' name, was there a storm coming? Do you remember, Vera? I'm sure all the kids would love to do this if they hear their pastor tell a story. But did you ever, as a kid, you get in the bathtub, you fill it up, and then you go back and forth like this, swishing the water to get, and then you stop. You know, the water keeps swishing and swishing and swishing. Well, that's what it was like. This storm came violently on the sea. Where we were at, it seemed like nothing, but in the middle of the lake, it was about to be turned up. A windstorm came down on the lake, and they were filling with water and were in danger. And they went and woke him, saying, "Master, master, we are perishing." And he woke and rebuked the winds and the raging waters, and they ceased, and there was a calm. Come on, church, say the word, calm. You want some calm in your life? Follow Jesus. He'll take you into the storm and out of it. He'll give you that calm. He said, we're going to make it to the other side, and so they would. These raging waters, they immediately ceased. That's what it means. It means in the way that that bathtub keeps going back and forth and back and forth and back and forth and back and forth like this, and then you stop, the water is still moving. In the case of Jesus, this word cease meant that when he rebuked the wind, everything stopped. No more back and forth, back and forth, back and forth on an ocean or a sea. Everything stopped. And he said to them, where's your faith? And they were afraid and they marveled, saying to one another, who is this that he commands even the winds and the waters? And they obey him. We're crossing over today. We're crossing over from whatever is holding you back in your relationship with God. We're crossing over. We're crossing over from feelings of loneliness and sadness and hurt. Over to a greater sense of belonging and belief. You're not alone today. You actually never were. When you went to bed last night and you were weeping, God was there. And when you woke up this morning and you wondered about many things in your life, God was there. And as you go throughout your day, he's never left you. He's never been absent from you. He loves you. He knows how many hairs are on your head and how many hairs might not be on your head. He loves you. I don't know if everyone got a bulletin. Can you, if you did, can you show me this? You got this in your bulletin or not? I don't know if we ran out today with our crowd, but I want you to hold on to this for a second because I'm talking about crossing over. Faith is really interesting. Because it's also something you have to do. In other words, if you actually believe, then you actually do. And in the doing, you strengthen your belief. And you insert and repeat. You insert and repeat. And so if I believe the Bible is the Word of God, then I'm going to open my Bible, I'm going to read it, and I'm going to be committed, as best I understand it, to doing exactly what it says. Insert, repeat. Yes? Yes. If I believe that I'm actually capable because Jesus Christ came and took away my sins and actually gave me a connection with the Father, then I'm capable of praying and actually having what I'm communing with God about, contacting God, and actually being one with him, and so I'm going to pray, yes? I'm not going to be absent of a life of prayer. It has nothing to do with me right now before you being a pastor. That's the literalness of knowing God. If I believe that Jesus can actually help somebody else, would I not tell them about Jesus as best I can? Would I not adopt somebody for ministry, love on somebody the right way? Would I not labor and labor and labor through years and years so that somebody might come to faith, might be encouraged in faith? If I believe that God was hospitable to me, would I not open my house, my home, my relationships, my friendships, my social network to other people who don't have friends in a social network so that they can feel connected? So I don't know where you have to cross over in your faith. I don't know where you actually have to cross over from things that feel so against you or shallow to things that are everything of what God promises for you. I don't know where you need to cross over. But I'm going to invite you to cross over right now. I'm going to invite you as you go home to get a pen out and maybe on the back of this paper to write what it is that you need to cross over about. Remember in our first story of the Bible, the Israelites had the army to their back and Egypt to their back, and they're watching that water needed to part. They were full of all kinds of fear and doubt and insecurity, but they crossed over. And I'm here to ask you right here and right now, if you feel like you need to cross over in your faith, from things that are lacking and things that are short, over into a greater and bold, more confidence in your faith, I'm going to ask you to take a step of faith right now. I'm going to ask you to just stand up right where you're at. You need to cross over and from whatever is shallow and short in your life to the full promises of God. I'm going to ask you to stand up right now and to hold this up right here as a testimony to God. And if you don't have one of these little things that says, I'm crossing over, then just stand up with your hand to God right here and say, I am crossing over in my faith right now, right here. If that's you, then stand up right here, right now. Stay standing. You need to cross over in your faith. I don't know what this totally means to you, but stand up right now. And if you just got to hold your hand up, then do that, because God sees and knows. For all of you that are standing, just pray a prayer out loud with me that affirms what you've just done. This will feel a bit like a salvation prayer, or maybe a little differently, but it just will seal this. Pray out loud, Lord Jesus, fill my heart with you, your every promise, your very word, with all of your love. I'm crossing over to believe you more. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Yes.
Thanks for listening to the Ranch Church podcast. For more information and service times, go to ranchchurch.com.